The Secret Doctors of NASA is a series of memoirs, diaries, and reports.
From actual doctors employed by an undisclosed arm of NASA between 1970 and 2001. These writings contain true accounts of the unusual and often highly classified medical conditions experienced by an astronaut during and after their space missions. Following the defunding of the clandestine medical program after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attack, the majority of these accounts were lost, forgotten, on tape drivers in a NASA storage facility. In 2016, a former intern whose job was to clean out one of these facilities discovered them. 2 years later, he is ready to release what he found. A dentist discovery. Arnold F. A. DDS. August 4th, 1989.
I met the astronaut after a half-year mission on the Russian space station. He'd gone through his preliminary post-landing physical, but complained about pain in his jaw and gums. His health, aside from those complaints, were fair. So it was my job to find out what was wrong with him before moving him to the next specialist. The urologist, I think. The orders always change. The patient was in decent spirits when we met, although I could tell something was on his mind. See, we chatted for a little bit. Turned out he'd been working on the Feng Li discovery. My heart sank. See, when Feng and Li discovered what they initially called the Venus Tic Tacs in 1982, no one in the know was surprised. Just another alien organism to add to the list of hundreds. A team formed to conduct research and determine its risks and benefits. There was no expectations that anything would come of it. As is so often the case, those in the know knew nothing. Give those Venus Tic Tacs an electric shock in the right place for the right amount of time, and what do you get? Pluripotent stem cells. They had the potential to become a game changer in the field of regenerative medicine. I don't think anybody expected to discover them when we did. All the data we had showed that we were at least a decade away from inducing pluripotency. I mean, hell, we assumed civilian doctors might figure them out first. This was big, capital B. Now, in dentistry, it meant we might be able to regrow missing teeth, reverse jaw deterioration. I followed the studies with great interest. Animal tests were successful. New teeth, better jaws, nice smiles all around. Success, good, great. The researchers moved on to human subjects. Failure. Nothing. Zilch. No reason. No goddamn reason whatsoever. No one could figure out why there was a 100% success with animal subjects and 0% with people. Cells wouldn't grow at all. Then a doctor named Franco, who'd been on the team since the beginning, suggested they try using the Tic Tac cells on people in space. But he didn't give a reason. I don't think he had one. Probably something like, well, you know, screw it. Doesn't work here. Try it up there. So we did. It worked. Sort of. See, the effects were different for everyone. Sometimes cavities were repaired. Sometimes jawbones grew again. Then, again, sometimes teeth fell out and jaws collapsed. That's what happened to Jose. See, nobody wanted to use Venus Tic Tacs again. That's why, when this astronaut came to me with pain in his gums and jaw and told me that he'd been working on the Feng Li discovery, I was less than thrilled with what I'd find. There'd been a 6-year moratorium on Venus Tic Tac's human experimentation since the Jose incident, and it had only been lifted a year ago. Apparently someone on the team wanted to pick it up right where they'd left off. But while I talked to the astronaut, he informed me that there'd been new research on the Tic Tacs. I frowned, told him I wasn't aware of anything new. He filled me in. Apparently, there'd been some civilian advances in stem cell technology that ended up contributing to our own knowledge of the science. So, new experiments were drawn up. Plausibility was determined, and one of the team leaders impressed the brass at NASA's ethics division. That, combined with the limited number of Venus Tic Tacs that had been recovered, and the uncertainty surrounding how much longer they'd be alive, ended the moratorium. That was all well and good. See, at that point, I hadn't looked into the astronaut's mouth. Before we started chatting, I had my assistant do an x-ray of his jaw. It developed while we were talking. Now, they're ready. I'm gonna digress for a second. Have you ever seen what a child's skull looks like before their adult teeth have come in? It's unsettling. Okay, look at this. That was all of us at one point. I've been a dentist for the last 36 years. Yeah, I've dealt with a lot of crazy stuff, but just thinking about all those holes makes me uneasy. Some things just stick with you, I guess. So why am I mentioning this? Okay. So this astronaut, right? This grown man had what looked like new teeth forming above his adult ones. Now, I consulted with the x-rays that we took before the mission. There was nothing unusual about them, just filled cavities, mild bone loss in his jaw that had made him a test candidate for the Tic Tac cells. Now, as I stared at the new x-ray, I saw the cavities, they were still there, the jaw still decaying, but those dark smudges on the x-ray, those indicated new teeth deep in there. I'd never seen anything like it. I remained professional. I asked him to lean back, open his mouth so I could begin the examination. And as I took my first look, I knew something was dreadfully wrong. See, his gums were puffy and they bled at the slightest touch. His teeth, they looked gray as if they hadn't been brushed in God knows how long, okay? It didn't make sense. I swung the magnifying over and brightened the light, and I think he heard me stifle a gasp when I looked through. His teeth, they were covered in these infinitesimal holes. They're much smaller than regular cavities. Okay? I looked closer. Each of the holes had a tiny pink hair sticking out of its center. I touched the tip of my instrument to one of the hairs. It recoiled back into the tooth. At this point, I was getting uneasy. Okay, I asked the astronaut if what I did hurt. He told me it did, but not bad. So I decided to numb the gums around the top of his teeth. When I waited for the Novocaine to take effect, I studied his molars. Those had bigger holes with thicker growths. And when I reached for one of them with my instrument, rather than slip back into the tooth, the hair extended about a quarter of an inch and it wrapped around the metal tip. The astronaut, he didn't seem to feel it. I gave the instrument a gentle tug. Nothing. Pulled harder. Still, barely using any force, the molar came out. My patient gasped. I apologized profusely. I stopped what I was doing. I put the instrument and the tooth out of his line of sight. I decided to level with him. I told him there was some severe damage to his teeth. And I didn't know what it was. I said I needed to do more exploratory work. It'd be likely very uncomfortable. Astronaut did his best to take it in stride. He told me that he knew something was very, very wrong from the moment when he brushed his teeth on the space station and the bristles would get caught inside the holes. The thought made me shudder. Anyway, so I numbed his mouth best I could, got to work. And by the end of it, I accidentally caused 9 of his teeth to fall out. All that remained in their places were those bizarre little pink hairs. So I sent him back to base with an appointment for the next day. Gonna remove the rest of his teeth. I felt terrible for the guy. I got a call in the middle of the night from the head of the medicine at the NASA hospital. I had to come there right away. The astronaut's roommate had called emergency services an hour or so ago. He was in excruciating pain. He was bleeding from the mouth. I arrived at the hospital in about 10 minutes. I expected to be able to go right in, see the patient, but I was stopped by security and the head of medicine. So he instructed me to put on a clean room suit. Yeah. Right then, I knew something was deeply wrong. I donned the suit, followed the head into one of those two observation areas above hermetically sealed operating room. So I looked at one of the television screens showing the astronaut's mouth. My stomach churned. All the man's teeth, they'd fallen out in their place. In the place, growing out of his gaping bloody gums, there were these swirling tangles of the pink hairs. I watched as the surgeons grasped one of the tangles in a pair of forceps and pulled. And pulled. A doctor held the astronaut's head while the surgeon put his weight into the effort. With the sound of a heavy piece of brush being pulled from the ground, the tangles gave way. They writhed at the end of the forceps. One still in his mouth stretched out as if they were trying to take it away and bring it back. Surgeon dropped the veiny clot into a bowl and the camera zoomed in on it. At the top of the tangle was something solid, something that I realized looked very, very much like one of the new teeth. The one that was deep inside that astronaut's jawbone. The one I'd seen on the x-ray that afternoon. Now out and exposed to the light, I saw that it wasn't a tooth. It wasn't a tooth at all. It was a brand new Venus Tic Tac. The first one we'd ever discovered outside of Venusian meteorite. So the issue of the pluripotent stem cells and whether or not they'd benefit human subjects is still a mystery. And after all the surgery, my patient is in a coma. As a human being, I write this with a heavy heart. As a scientist, though, see, I have some hope. Maybe even a little excitement. Thanks to that poor astronaut, now we know how to breed new Venus Tic Tacs. Perhaps, someday. Someday we'll learn how to use them. End of report.